Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world, the flow of the century, always timeless. Ho! Thank you for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. We appreciate that.
Good evening, afternoon, or morning, whenever you guys might be listening to the podcast. We appreciate y'all listening, so thank you for joining us. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year, college football season, just days away. And I've got a returning guest with me tonight to talk about the opening game against Savannah State, Carson Cunningham. What's going on, bud?
Not much. I feel like a kid on Christmas Eve, you know. I mean, this is the week we wait, you know, 365 days for, really, since, you know, the end of the year or the start of last season. So I'm excited. I'm ready to roll.
I am too. This is probably second place to Christmas for me.
Yeah, still, I mean, you don't get gifts now anymore. I mean, come on, this has got to be better than Christmas.
No, not just because of the gifts, but I'm a big Christmas fan.
I am too. It's like picking your favorite kid. I can't pick between the two, but college football's here, and I'm excited.
Yeah, you're more excited now about college football. So let's jump right into it. We've kind of played around with some predictions throughout the conference, and I just turned over my conference predictions, every team, over to Kyle the Post. But I wanted to ask you, who's winning the conference?
Well, I think this is the most wide open the league's been, maybe since like the first two or three years the Big 12 was in existence. You could tell me that OU would win it, I wouldn't laugh at you. You could tell me OSU would win it, I think you would be going out of limb, but I wouldn't put it past them. You could tell me West Virginia would win it, and I wouldn't have a problem with that either. You could tell me Kansas State could win it, and I wouldn't have a problem with that. The only team I'd have a problem with would be TCU and Texas, and then all the teams below that. If I had to pick a team, it would be OU, because this stat is insane. Boss Deuce has never not won the conference in consecutive years, and they did obviously didn't win it last year. So you have to say the Big 12 title runs through Norman again. I mean, but only because there's just a lack of a clear favorite, and they have Sooners across their chest. That's really the only thing I have to go on, because they have just as many question marks as anybody else in the league, despite them being in the top five in the country preseason. So if I have to pick, I guess I go OU, but I don't feel confident about it at all.
That is a great and terrible stat at the same time about OU, about Stoops never going consecutive years without a title. I mean, it's a great stat, but I just hate the fact.
Silly, right?
Yeah. But I agree with you, and I hate doing it, but I also have OU projected to win the conference. And it's actually, and I won't get too much into them, Kyle will post them, but I have a three-way tie for first, and the schedule just plays out in their favor, because I have them a three-way tie with Kansas State, who, yes, I'm big on, and OSU, all three at 7-2, and OU catches both of those teams at home. And the thing with Stoops is he doesn't lose games at home that, you know, they could or, you know, should or could lose. They always step up in a game that could be a good one and play really well. It's those Texas Techs like last year, OSU earlier, you know, 10 whatever years ago. Those are the games that, you know, it's like they've got more of a chance to lose to Iowa State or Baylor, whoever else at home, than to a, you know, a top team in the conference.
Oh, totally. I don't know if you remember, like, back when we were in college, they almost lost to like a bad, bad Baylor team. They went like double or triple overtime or something crazy. Do you remember that game?
Yeah. That's
like
just
back when we were in college, they almost lost to a horrible Baylor team at home. So you're right. It's like they have to get just snuck up on. And they, like, anytime a good team comes to town, they just roll them, and it's not even a game. But when they're just, you know, looking forward to the next week or what have you, just the weaker teams always seem to be the ones that catch up with them.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly my point. And so, but I look at their schedule this year, and I can't predict one of those losses to happen. I mean, it may or may not. But so I've got them winning it. Sadly, I'm not happy about it.
I like your top three, though. I think Kansas State, OSU, and OU are the three best. I would agree with you there, though.
Okay, I'm kind of surprised you didn't have West Virginia up there. Hey, real quick, let me throw this out there. I'm having some sound problems, nothing too major, but if any listeners are hearing some poor audio, that is because of a poor internet connection in my Amarillo hotel, so I apologize for that.
Blame it on West Texas.
It's an easy thing to do, but what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I'm not buying West Virginia. I mean, I think I'm the only one not drinking the Dana Holgerson. I love Dana. Don't get me wrong. I love Dana Holgerson. Love everything he's about. But if you look at their schedule last year, they won some close games against some bad teams and had some terrible losses. All anyone wants to remember is the Clemson game. But if you look at their schedule and what they did in the Big East,
Syracuse, Louisville,
snuck into that BCS game. They snuck into it.
Yeah, they did, and they had a great BCS game, but you can't look at one game. I'm with
exactly.
you. You're saying the same thing that I've said on multiple podcasts, and I'm also, people will read in my Big 12 projections. It is kind of, I love Dana too, and I'm pumped that West Virginia's in the Big 12. I'm just not buying it. I looked at the top 25 for this year. Their coaches poll, zero Big East teams are in the coaches poll preseason. There are five Big 12, and that's not even including West Virginia. So that tells you quite a bit. And you can't tell them if they can just shift conferences and, you know, and not miss a beat.
Yeah, I don't see it. I mean, the Big East, year in, year out, has been by far the weakest BCS conference. West Virginia got rolled by Syracuse on the road. What's going to happen when they go to Texas or Stillwater? You know what I mean? I mean, those are two very different places than Syracuse, New York, and the Carrier Dome. You know?
Yeah, I don't understand how people aren't bringing that up because they want to hammer Kansas State for their close wins last year. But, oh, well, West Virginia has powerful offense. Well, so what? I mean, if you're going to hold it against the Wildcats, hold it against the Mountaineers.
I think we're on the same page when it comes to Kansas State. They're like the Rodney Dangerfield. They get no respect. Even after what they did last year, and they had everybody back. They didn't lose a single main contributor on their entire team, and they're all back, and everyone wants to pick them 5th, 6th, 7th, you know, typical Bill Snyder not getting any love, but I think Kansas State has as good a shot as anybody to win the whole.
What's crazy is there's some preseason lines that you can bet on, and Texas is favored by 6 or 7 in Manhattan. Kansas State has
beaten
Texas, even in Austin, and now all of a sudden this Texas team's 6-point favorites on the road. Not buying that one either.
Well, Kansas State is the only team in the Big 12 to have a winning record against Texas. That tells you all you need to know. They own Mack Brown. Mack Brown does not want to go to Manhattan if he doesn't have to.
Yeah, and that's a crazy place to play, especially the last game of the season. But let me ask you this. Let's go ahead and start talking about Savannah State. Before we get into the actual game, how do you feel about playing a team like Savannah State to open the season?
It's anticlimactic. I feel bad, you know, for the fans and all the people that pay money to go to the games. But if you're Mike Gundy and your checks are cashed on wins and losses, why wouldn't you schedule all cream puffs in the non-conference? Because in the BCS format, they've completely taken out strength of schedule, which to me is, other than win-loss records, strength of schedule is the most important stat you could possibly come up with. But since the powers that be and all their brain power have taken that out, I would play all Savannah State in the non-conference if I could. Because by the time you get in the conference play, people will have forgotten all that. They're just going to look at what you did in conference and then decide whether you're worthy for the Final Four playoff or this last year here for the BCS title game.
Right, and the playoffs coming up in a couple of years, that's only going to solidify what you said even more, because You just have to get through it. You win 3 games no matter who they're against, and if you win the Big 12, well, then you're in. You're in that playoff, and maybe if you have one loss to a conference opponent. It's not fun, and I'm not jacked up to see Savannah State, but would I rather it be Washington State this year? I mean, we have Arizona, and when we scheduled them, I don't know exactly what their program was like, but I think we had – a little higher hopes for how good they were going to be. So do you want to schedule more than one decent non-conference opponent? No, and especially with they didn't play in this, but with the freshman quarterback, I mean, that's a nice little warm-up game to get his feet wet, no?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's ideal. I think his Rochester High School defense may be better than the Savannah State defense. I'm not sure. It's probably pretty close. So for me, I think you play Westland the whole game. You see what he can do. You see if he can run the offense the whole way. I mean, you obviously don't want him getting hurt. First sign of trouble, if he gets any kind of pressure whatsoever, once the game's out of hand, you take him out. But at this point, he just needs reps. So I can't think of a better opening game for him than against a team that may or may not be better than his high school team.
So true. And I don't think he played in the whole game. I wouldn't say I'm concerned about him playing with our backup O-line when we're up by 50.
I mean, there's a reason he won the job. You don't want his backups playing, but at this point he needs reps, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but how many, are 4 quarters that much better than 3 when you're playing a team like Savannah State?
That's a good point. But, I mean, for me, as far as scheduling goes, for me it all comes down to the strength of schedule component. What we all want to see is people schedule up to try and get in that playoff. Like, make strength of schedule the most important thing to get in the playoff. You may have an extra loss or two, but if you've played a gauntlet, I think that should earn you more respect. So it's a problem with the system, and this is you play with the cards you're dealt, and that's what Mike Gundy is doing right now. He's playing with the cards he's dealt. He said, hey, strength of schedule's not a factor. Let's get Clemson off the schedule. Let's get all these road trips to, legit programs off the schedule, and let's play, the Sisters of the Poor. So you can't fault Mike Gundy for that. His job is to win, and if that doesn't hinder him from getting to the playoffs or the BCS finals, he's gonna play the weaklings.
Right, and don't get me wrong, I loved playing Georgia because that made for a great road trip, and even a fun game to host a team like that in Stillwater. But I can't blame the athletic department for scheduling a team like Savannah State, especially when you had Arizona on the schedule already. No reason to stack up when you're in the Big 12. If you run through the Big 12 successfully, like you said, they're not going to look back and, oh, they played Savannah State. No, I mean, it's done, it's over.
All you got to do is look down at the SEC. You see, back when Tebow was at Florida, they were playing, a 1AA team.
Charleston,
a couple games.
Charleston, Southern.
Yeah, I mean, those guys have to do it because they played in the SEC. Well, the Big 12, in my opinion, is right there, right a notch below the SEC. Same theory in general, really. I mean, you can talk about Florida and Alabama and them, but they play some weaklings as well. You can look at Alabama, Nick Saban. They'll play a high school team if Nick Saban had his way.
Now, I forget who Savannah State's playing their second game of the year, but I wanted to say it was an SEC team. Give me a second.
Those poor kids. It's like a U.S. Grant. I feel bad for U.S. Grant in our state. They got to play Tulsa Union. They got to play Jinx in 6A, and they're just not equipped. I feel bad for old Savannah.
I'll tell you what, Union breeds a different type of athlete, man. Just studs come out of that.
You're not biased at all.
No, not at all.
I got it right here. So Savannah State goes to Florida State after they play Oklahoma State.
Okay, not SEC, but still. So, have fun with that.
SEC athlete.
Another overrated team. All right, let's jump into this because I want to. We both know that it's not going to be a fun game. Are you going to be up in Stillwater?
I will be in El Paso for the OU opener.
Oh, okay, well that one should be.
No, I will. I think
more intriguing.
It should be a better game. I'll be in a different part of town. I've never been to El Paso. I got to make sure I don't go across the border.
No, I enjoy having you on the podcast. I'd appreciate it if you didn't, so you could come back and join us. I'm going to throw out some stats to you for this weekend, and you're gonna give me the over-under on it, or tell me over-under. This first one, start with the offense. I'm going to go 550 total yards.
I'm going over. I mean, they routinely put up 600 last year, and against a team like Savannah, I got to think they go over that. I mean, I just don't see any way. Even if they call off the dogs and, put in the backup, I think they'll be able to move the ball up into the field on them. So I got to go over.
I raised it from 500 to 550 because I was like, wow, gosh, that 500's low. I'm going to take the under here, and the reason being is we're not going to be working with an entire field to rack up a bunch of yards. I don't expect Savannah State to cross midfield very much at all, and I don't expect them to have a punter that can boot it down there 40, 50 yards. So wouldn't be surprised to see us taken over in Savannah State's own territory quite a bit. So I'll go under 550 yards, but that's not a knock on our offense. That's a knock on Savannah State's offense.
Well, and I could see Mike Gundy, he's been noble in the past. I could see him, running the old Pat Jones offense, just off tackle left, off tackle right, three times and punt for like the whole second half just to get out of there.
Right. Well, and that's where you take Lunt out, because what good are his reps when that's his role?
That's a good point.
Okay, so let's go now. Savannah State points, 6.5.
6.5? I'm going to go over. I think they get one touchdown. I think they score 7. So I'm going to go over.
All right. And this, I mean, I set these myself, and I've been back and forth on them. At first, I put 6, and I was like, no, it needs to be 6.5 because I don't even know if they can kick field goals. But I'm going to say it's going to be one of those, 63-6 games or something like that. I'm with you. It all kind of depends on whether or not they get in the end zone, but I'm going to say under and go with 6.
I'm going to go over. I think you're going to have a lot of freshmen in. I think some freshmen will just do something stupid to set them up for a touchdown. So
yeah.
First game, a lot of freshmen playing. I think they'll do something to get in the end zone.
Very well could happen. Randall rushing yards, 120.
Ooh. I'm going to go under because I think he'll get about an 80-yard touchdown, and they'll just shut him down after that and say, okay, Desmond Rowland, Jeremy Smith, it's your show.
I'm not intentionally being a contrarian, but I'm going to go over here. I think he'll get his reps in the first half, but like you said, he'll have a big, a long run, and then he'll get his the rest of the way, and then, yeah, they'll give some of the load to Smith and then Desmond Rowland as well later in the game, but I'm going to go over on Randall at 120. Let's go with Savannah State turnovers, 3.5.
3.5. I'm going to go under. I think they'll get 2 on a whim.
Okay. I'm going to go under with you. 4 is you can easily see that happening with the type of defense that we have. But 4 is a lot of turnovers for a game. And even as bad as they are, it's hard to predict a team, getting more than 3.
Well, and it's amazing to me that people want to ride off the defense because they get turnovers. Can you think of a more important thing for a defense to do? And they've done it for the last 4 years now under Bill Young. It just amazes me. People go, oh well, they got a lot of turnovers, but they're not any good. Well, isn't that the objective? I mean, I guess people view that as lucky, but after 3 or 4 years, it's not luck. It's what they do.
Yeah, and really my argument, and we can argue about this all night, is that I don't really care. You don't even have to use turnovers as a means to judge a defense, but aren't points allowed a lot more important than yards allowed?
Totally.
Were we not the best in Big 12 conference play in points allowed?
Yeah, they were. Factor in when the points were scored. It's not even funny. The backup defense gave up so many yards, so many points, to where people would just look at the bottom line and say, well, this defense isn't any good. People didn't watch the games. That's what drove, I think, most OSU fans crazy, is people didn't watch the games at all. They would look at the Baylor final score and go, well, they won, but look how many points they gave up. Well, you didn't watch the game. They were up, 48-0 or 49-0, whatever it was. I lost count. While RG3 was rolling around on the ground, I lost count.
Yeah, and what about our, first game of the season last year? We open up and Whedon throws 2 pick sixes, and that, on paper, that's on the defense. When you look at the, but that's not fair. But let's not go any deeper into that because every OSU fan agrees, and we all have. I'm sure we'll talk about it throughout the year again. So let's go back to our offense. The last 2 that I've got here, Lunt passing yards, 300.
Ooh, that's a good line. I'm going to go under because I think they run the clock. He'll probably get a couple early, a few touchdowns early, get up over, 200, 250, and then they'll go to the running game. I'm going to go under.
You think that he'll need to get his reps, but you think that they're going to run the clock?
Well, I think he should get his reps, but I think Mike Gundy probably knows that this is his best quarter and probably doesn't want him getting hurt, so he didn't want to give anything away before he goes to Arizona, so I don't think they're going to be airing it out, so to speak.
Nah, I'm also going under. Same reason I went under the total 550 yards of offense. I just don't think that he'll be in the whole game. I don't think he'll have a lot of ground to cover when we're driving. I think he'll be within 50 yards of the end zone most of the time anyways. And like you said, I think that we'll run the ball quite a bit. So we
bold prediction real quick. Prediction.
All right, what is it?
Desmond Rowland, 150 yards rushing.
Oh, I'll go.
Jeremy and Randall will be out of there.
Oh, I thought you were giving me an over-under. You think he's going to go for 150?
Yeah, that's a bold prediction. I'm not – obviously, you would go under as an over-under. I'm just saying that's my bold prediction. I think he'll go – actually, I'm going to go 150. Let's just go over 100 yards for Desmond Rowland. How about that? That's bold enough, right?
I think 150 was bolder. I wouldn't give as much. I wouldn't give you as much props if you said over 100. Obviously, as if you just
okay.
150 and said like this is what's going to happen.
Well, since I wavered, I'm no longer impressive, but I'll stick with my original 150.
So possibly three 100 yard rushers in this game, huh?
Nah, Randall and Smith will have their shoulder pads off by halftime.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset if they did. There's. They can get hurt a lot easier than Lutt, and, oh, man, I would hate to see either one of those guys go down. Let us finish with total points for OSU. Why don't you just tell me how many you think they're going to score, and I'll tell you where my mark was at.
I'm going with 56. That's my number. I think Gundy will keep it at that. I mean, they could score. They could name their number. They could score over 80, I think, if they wanted to, but he'll keep it under 60.
Thanks, sir. My total was over under, was 62, so you're obviously going under there. I think that we'll continue to score even when we're not trying. I mean, if we've got 45 points at halftime, I don't think Gundy's just going to run the ball every single play. I mean, whoever's in there, whether it be Lunt or Walsh, he's going to still want to give him some reps, may not be throwing the ball deep downfield, but in our running game, you're a third-string running back. We're going to be moving the ball. I'm going to go over 62, probably in the 60, because my number, I was like, 63-6. And so that's where I came up with the point total over-unders for both teams.
Well, I wouldn't want to put money on the under, I'll tell you that, but but I'll go under.
What would the spread have to be for you to take Savannah State?
Oh, man. Probably 50. I mean, I would still maybe not feel great about it, but I'd probably take 50 points.
Okay. All right. So it could be 56 to, well, there you go, 56 to 7, huh? There's your, just like you called it, 49.
There we go. I'm all on right, the same page. Right.
Well, that's great, man. Almost here, almost Saturday. Have a great time out in El Paso. I'll be up tailgating with the rest of our boys up in Stillwater, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, send my best to the tailgates out there outside Boone Pickens. I'll be in, hopefully not across the border. Hopefully I'll be in a nice, comfy football stadium.
Yeah, good luck to you, man. Hopefully we're talking to you again next week.
All right, sounds good, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, take it easy.